Temper tightened his eyes.
If you're playing a game...
No game. Panic made me blurt rather than hum with sexual intrigue. Pen inched closer. A floorboard creaked. Greg's nostrils flared as he twitched to look over his shoulder. I did the only thing I could. The only thing I could think of. Digging my nails into his cheeks, I wrenched his face to mine and kissed him. The world screeched to a halt as my lips willingly found his and seduced him. He tasted wrong. He felt wrong. He was wrong. His body tensed. For a second, I feared he'd slap me away and find Penn just a foot behind him. But then he relaxed, grabbing me close and spearing his tongue into my mouth. I gagged as he kissed me deep, his hands tangling in my hair. I hated every wet heat of it. I despised every swipe of his unwanted invasion. Trying to stay in character, I did my hardest not to bite him, but I couldn't stop the moan of rejection or squirm of refusal. He grunted, dragging me closer to him. The kiss turned brutal and basic, teeth nipping at my lips, sharp and smooth. And then it was over. Commotion, clamor, and then Greg was torn from my arms and jerked backward. Instinct made him grab the chain around my wrists, yanking me with him. A sharp gasp fell from me as we fell together, plummeting to the hardwood. I landed with a bone-rattling jar half on him, half on the floor. I didn't have time to register pain as vicious hands wrapped around my waist, plucked me from Greg, and threw me to the side out of the way. I rolled to my knees just in time to see Penn dive onto Greg as he pinned him to the floor and delivered two solid punches to his jaw.
You cock-sucking motherfucker! What the?
Greg tried to protect his face, but Penn had the element of surprise.
How dare you take her?
Penn rammed his knuckles into Greg's jaw.
How dare you fucking touch her?
He hit his temple, his throat, his punches messy but swift.
How dare you goddamn hurt her?
He turned diabolical, hitting every part he could reach. Greg whimpered, his voice punctured by punches and pain. Penn didn't let up. He didn't stop the violence. He'll kill him. Wait! I scrambled upright. Stop! Penn didn't listen. Greg's nose popped in a gush of blood. He groaned something incomprehensible. Penn pushed up, towering over him. His chest heaved with breath, his body covered in stains and injury.
You're an asshole.
His foot kicked out, connecting with Greg's side.
A creep who ought to be exterminated, just like all the other fucking creeps who think they can take what isn't theirs.
Even in the midst of a fight, I couldn't help my inner voice from whispering, "Hypocrite." Penn was one of those creeps. He tried to rape me in that alley. He'd stolen my necklace. I backed away, holding my stomach in revulsion. Two emotions tangled and braided. They knotted together, trying to confuse me. I liked Penn. I hated Penn. I wanted Penn. I could never forgive Penn. The flash of his bare foot brought me back as he buried it in Greg's soft belly. A sickening thud made nerves tangle into sickness. I couldn't do a damn thing. Penn was a ruthless machine, utterly unstoppable. He was no longer the surly liar who'd enchanted me, but a cold, merciless killer. Greg grunted, curling up, protecting every part he could.
Stop! Fucking stop!
Hot tears came from nowhere, brimming with betrayal and exhaustion. They spilled over, distorting the room, tickling my cheeks as Greg spat red saliva onto the hardwood. Penn didn't move back, but he didn't strike either. Greg's blood covered his knuckles, his stance defensive and possessive, his intentions of winning blaring all around him. He'd been in a fight before this one. He'd been hurt before he hurt Greg. Why? How? By who? Yet more questions landing on the unanswered hillside I already had. I'd seen Penn in many moods over the past few weeks. Sarcastic, protective, combative, and seducing. But I'd never seen him channel the wish of a murderer. He glowered at Greg with no compassion or belief he was even human. Planting his foot on Greg's sternum, he pointed a finger in his face.
Go near L again, and you don't survive.
My chains jingled as I inched closer. I didn't know if I wanted to pull Penn away or check that Greg wasn't seriously hurt. I didn't want to be close to either of them. Deciding they were both idiots and it was my turn to rule, I pushed Penn out of the way, yanked out the despicable engagement ring, and threw it on Greg's chest. "You can take that awful diamond back." The minute I was free from that shackle, I dangled the chain between my wrists over Greg's face. "Now enough fighting. Where are the keys to the padlock?" Penn blinked away his violent stupor, focusing on the cuffs around my wrist and ankle before focusing on the tossed-away engagement ring. His eyes turned black.
"He fucking chained you."
His fingers dug into my shoulder, holding me tight as he inspected me. His gaze flew over the gold negligee, down my chest, legs, and toes, then spun me around and repeated. His voice wobbled with fury.
"He fucking tied you up, bruised you, forced his ring on you, and made you dress in whatever he damn well pleased?"
He laughed with an iceberg in his throat.
"He fucking kissed you? Oh, hell fucking no."
Shoving me away, he launched himself on Greg for the second time. Greg, to his credit, managed to land a decent headshot, rolling away and clambering to all fours.
"Get off me, you son of a bitch!"
Penn shook his head free from stars, dazed for a second. A second was all Greg needed to feed off adrenaline and stand.
"She's mine, asshole!"
He leapt on Penn. Chaos erupted. Elbows, knees, fists, and curses. They were no longer two men but one mass of punching arms and striking kicks. Their centrifugal force sent furniture this way and that. Their bodies crashing into a side table and sending a swan-shaped lamp smashing to the floor. Greg tackled Penn into the couch. Penn struck the back of Greg's head, getting free. While Greg shook away the pain, Penn kicked him straight in his ribs, then delivered a lightning-fast punch to his belly. With fists up and biceps bulging, Greg attempted to strike again, but Penn was too nimble. He landed a perfect uppercut to Greg's jaw, all while quiet fury rippled off him. His experience in fights was alarming. His past was the perfect training course for such systematical punishments, reminding me I knew nothing about him or how far into lawlessness he'd fallen. He'd mentally disconnected, focused entirely on winning.
"Stop! Both of you!"
I screamed. It didn't do any good. They attacked with vigor born from survival. The sound of a roaring vehicle outside wrenched my head up just in time to see the black Range Rover I knew so well hurtled down the driveway and slammed to a stop. The windows revealed David, leaping out with the engine still roaring, charging toward the cabin with his gun free from its holster.
"Quit it! Right now!"
I darted to where Penn and Greg rolled. Someone's leg struck out, hitting my cuffed ankle. I tumbled to my knees, a pained gasp falling. Penn made eye contact with me just as his fist slammed into Greg's temple.
"Shit!"
Greg toppled sideways, his eyes rolling in the back of his head. Out cold. A second later, the front door ricocheted open, and David stood braced with his weapon raised.
"Everybody freeze."
I held up my hands, hating the change so damn much.
"It's okay, David. I'm fine."
"Miss Charleston?"
He stomped forward, his finger never pulling away from the trigger. His ex-Marine gaze swept the room, taking in the carnage, and understanding without being told the gist of what happened. His attention latched onto my face where a black eye had formed and tear tracks painted me as exhausted and strung out. His gun pointed away as he came to my side.
"Who did that to you?"
He swung around as Penn stumbled away from Greg's unconscious form and stood on wobbly legs. He winced a little as he put weight on his right ankle. David immediately trained the gun on Penn's chest. Penn put his hands up in surrender, but his body still carried the remnants of battle. David growled.
"I knew you looked like a troublemaker the first time I saw you."
Penn spat a mouthful of blood by Greg's prone body.
"I don't care what you think of me."
Stalking toward me, Penn grabbed my hand and wrenched me forward.
"Come on, Al. I'll take you home."
Home? Was he insane? He needed to go to a hospital. Greg, too. The police would be involved. Not to mention I never wanted to be alone with him again. "I'm not going anywhere with you." I tugged in his hold, looking down at Greg. Do we need an ambulance? Penn chuckled coldly.
Doubt it. He's better off than he would have been if your fucking driver hadn't turned up.
David hoisted the gun higher.
Keep talking like that, and we'll have an issue. Let Miss Charleston go.
Penn wrapped the tight fingers around the chain joining my wrists.
No, she's coming with me.
My bare feet dug into the floor. No, I'm not. I told you I'm not going anywhere with you.
Yes, you are. We need to talk about this.
He swiped a swollen hand through dirty hair, letting me go.
Tell me where he put the keys, and I'll free you. Then we're leaving.
I shook my head. I wouldn't go with him. I didn't trust him. I didn't like him. I don't even know him. But answers. They were the only thing that made sense in this screwed-up reality. Maybe I should go. End this like adults. David fought on my behalf, giving me time to weigh the pros and cons.
Don't move, either of you.
Moving toward Greg, he ducked and put his finger on his pulse. Greg didn't twitch. His legs splayed, arms spread, blood everywhere. It looked like a murder scene. David muttered.
You're lucky he's still alive. Otherwise, I'd shoot you for killing him.
Penn snorted.
And I suppose that's fair justice, to kill the man who rescued the head of Bel-El?
David stood, holstering his weapon with angry jerks.
I was about to rescue her. Yes, but I beat you.
Staying close, Penn didn't touch me, but his eyes captured mine in a way that set my tummy mimicking baby birds, clumsily learning how to fly. He never looked so rough and dangerous, but beneath the bloody smears was passion and desperation.
Elle, please, we need to talk.
I backed up. Maybe in a few days, once I'm home, and this is behind us.
I don't have a few days.
My voice sharpened. Why not? Penn shook his head, a sad smirk on his lips.
You'll find out soon enough.
Is he leaving? Why would he say that? Something about the way he shrugged tugged at me to know. He looked resigned, pissed off and full of injustice, but grudgingly accepting whatever he knew that I didn't. He knows many things that you don't. He must have thought I was so stupid that day in Central Park. When I'd asked where he was on the 19th of June 3 years ago, he would have known I'd refused him and his asshole friend in the alley, but got it on with Nameless an hour later. Was that why he came after me? Because he thought I was easy? I shivered, hugging myself. I wanted to know. But mostly, I just wanted this over with. For the first time, I missed the simplicity of my life before sex. I missed knowing what my day would entail. Working, hugging my cat, and reading in bed. There was comfort in blandness. I wanted that comfort back. No, Penn. I'm going home. His eyebrows rose as if expecting an invitation. My chin came up. Without you. I needed time to put aside this awful event with Greg, and remember I was in charge, not these men in this tiny cabin. Me. Let's go. I looked at David, seeing as Penn hadn't budged and his jaw worked as if chewing on things he didn't know if he should say. David nodded.
Right away.
I held up my wrists. Uncuff me and take me home, please. David immediately strode back to Greg, dropping to his haunches and rummaging in the unconscious man's pockets for keys. Penn glowered at my bodyguard.
You're not taking her. Not until we've had a chance to talk. Another time, perhaps.
David snapped.
We're leaving, right now.
Penn's temper morphed into something calculating. Placing himself in my view, he scooped up the metal links between my wrists and tugged gently.
Do you trust me?
That phrase again. No. His voice softened.
You're safe. Just come into the kitchen.
The kitchen? Why?
Trust me.
Pulling me forward, I swayed backward for a second, fighting him. David looked up, unsuccessful on the key hunt, his eyes narrowed on Penn. David was here. Penn couldn't hurt me. When did he ever hurt you? You were alone with him often. I punched common sense in the mouth. Allowing Penn to guide me forward, our matching bare feet padded over the cabin's floor. I wanted to ask why he wasn't wearing shoes, but if I asked one question, I wouldn't be able to stop the avalanche. Penn led me into the kitchen, then let me go. He watched me warily, as if unsure I'd stay or bolt away from him. I gave him a slight nod, showing I was relaxed and had no intention of running. Yet. His lips quirked the corners, his gaze skating over my body, filling with desire. Clearing his throat, he pulled open a drawer and pushed aside a few utensils until he found what he was looking for. A meat pulverizer. I backed away. What are you going to do with that?
Come here and you'll see.
Leaning over the bench, Penn pulled out a knife from the same butcher's block that Greg had taunted me with while I'd cooked lunch. Dirty pans and plates sat in the sink, ready to be washed. What would Penn think of that? Would he think I'd played house with Greg? Get jealous that I'd cooked him lunch even though it was under duress? Somehow, I got the feeling Penn wasn't petty or stupid. He held violence in his palm, ready to unleash it on his enemies, but he also allowed kindness. I took a step closer, warily.
May I?
He pointed at the chain with a knife. I swallowed, nodding. Taking the links, he jammed the knife tip into the loops and placed it on the counter. Twisting the blade, he added pressure until the link refused to bend anymore. Picking up the meat pulverizer, he struck the metal with an awful whack. The noise reverberated through my limbs as well as my ears. Tossing the pulverizer away, he pulled out the knife and with another twist broke the link. The chains fell apart, no longer together but still cuffed to my wrists by soft leather. That wasn't exactly worthwhile. I'm still...
Trapped, I know. You have a choice.
He scowled.
Either come home with me, where I have a lockpicking kit and can undo the cuffs like I would with a key, or...
I ignored his comment about going home with him. Or?
Or I use this.
He held up the knife.
I can't exactly use the same method with the pounder, but the padlocks look flimsy enough to break with a blade.
David came forward.
The keys won't be far. Be patient and help me search.
Penn didn't look at him, keeping his eyes on me as he said,
By all means, look, but she'll be free before you find them.
I quipped. So arrogant. He chuckled.
Only just noticed?
Pulling me forward by the dangling chain, I refused to let the shiver of lust infect me. The longer I was in his presence, the more I fought an unwinnable battle between my heart and body. Penn wasn't good for me. He was a liar. But my body truly didn't care. He stepped closer, closer than necessary, and hugged my arm close.
You have to stay still. I have a knife against your delicate skin. Don't move.
His voice licked down my spine. My nipples that had no right to be a part of this conversation tingled. I won't move. I couldn't really see as he hooked the knife into the small padlock and with a savage corkscrew, smiled triumphantly as the soft sound of something plopping against the floor came a second later.
Free.
Unwrapping the leather, his fingers feathered over my wrist with affection, protection, and most of all, a request to hear him out, to give him a chance. The cabin vanished, and all that remained was us. The mystery, the fallacies, David and Greg, all gone. Penn had a magical way of capturing my every sense and keeping me locked in whatever world he created. Licking his bottom lip, he gently let one wrist go to manhandle the other. I held my breath as his touch skimmed down my arm. Then a sharp tug and knife on metal freed me from the second cuff. Not saying a word, Penn tossed the leather away, looped his fingers around my wrist and guided me from the kitchen, past David who didn't stop glaring, and toward the fireplace with a chain around my ankle, locked to the hook. His forehead furrowed, contemplating if he should break the chain or not bother and just undo the imprisonment around my ankle. He chose the more streamlined option. Ducking to one knee, he looked up as his touch landed on my calf. I flinched as his breath fluttered the gold negligee and heat erupted between my legs. Black desire coated him as he glanced at my breasts, then inserted the knife tip into the tiny padlock and jerked. The final tether fell away, leaving me unbound by chains but unable to move from his hold. He massaged my ankle, rubbing me gently.
"Elle, please let me take you home."
"I..." David barged into our little moment.
"You already know you're not taking her anywhere."
Penn ignored him, his chocolate gaze locked with mine.
"I'm not taking no for an answer."
"Like hell you aren't. We're calling the police and getting this settled."
David reached for his phone. "Yes, the police. I had to report Greg. I had to ensure he didn't try something like this again." But Penn turned cold, standing from his one-knee pose.
"Don't. Don't tell me what to do."
David stalked away, already punching in the emergency number. I wanted to ask him where Dad was, if he was okay, but Penn's stiffness and the way he inched subtly toward the door made me focus. He's nervous. As well he should be. He was a criminal who'd done time before. He was right to be worried, but not because of what he'd done to Greg. He'd gone a bit far, but he'd done it in my defense. They can't arrest him for that. He was the hero in this scenario, not the villain. He rolled his shoulders as if it wasn't a big deal.
"I'm not waiting around for paper-pushing idiots. He's the one who needs to be arrested."
He pointed his chin at Greg, still passed out on the floor.
"And he's not going anywhere."
David scowled.
"You knocked him out. The police will want to talk to you, too."
"Well, I don't want to talk to them."
Penn marched back toward me and took my hand.
"Elle, please, come with me."
My conviction wobbled. He looked so young, so pleading, so lost. But he was also the man from the alley.
I don't think...
Penn heard my uncertainty, my lack of absolution. His fingers looped with mine, pulling me forward with a sudden burst of power.
"Before you say goodbye, just hear me out. That's all I'm asking."
The instinct to fight his unwanted coercion made me dig my heels into the floor. "No, not today. Come to my office in a few days and we'll..."
"No, it has to be now."
He stormed forward, dragging me behind him with no effort. David leapt into action, abandoning the phone call where he'd been murmuring details to the police. He grabbed my other hand, using me as the rope in a tug of war.
"You're not taking her, Everett."
"God damn it!"
Penn threw my arm away, severing all ties. For a second it looked as if he'd run and never look back. But then he spun around, seething with restraint, itching to leave.
"Fine."
Ever so slowly, he let his tension uncurl, holding his hand out to me like a lover asking me to go on a hot air balloon ride at sunset.
"Elle, it would mean a lot to me if you came with me."
He lowered his head, watching me with hooded eyes.
"One conversation, in private, and then you can leave. You have my word."
David relinquished me, so I stood on my own, no longer trapped by any of the three men currently surrounding me, even though one was still in La La Land.
"Ma'am?"
David played with his gun holster, touching the handle of his weapon. He kept his gaze on Penn.
"Let me take you home. Your father and Steve are on their way. I dropped them off at a local establishment before finding you. I refuse to let them come to the crime scene, in case..."
He coughed.
"Anyway, the important thing is to call him and say you'll meet him back at home. I'll arrange transportation for him to meet us there."
"Dad." I needed to check his heart was okay from this stressful night. I needed to do a great many things. I should nod and follow David to the Range Rover and never look back. I should file a police report, tell Steve as gently as I could that Greg was fired, and if he ever got within a few hundred feet of me, he'd be arrested, and spend the evening soothing my dad's nerves. And Sage. I need to feed Sage. But something about Penn bewitched me once again. He stood there with his hand shaking slightly, his invitation unanswered. I tilted my chin, ignoring David and asking questions of my own for once. "Why should I go with you, Penn? You've done nothing but lie to me, I've been so stupid up until now not to dig into who you truly are, to force you to tell me what you're hiding. He didn't move, merely cocked his head in agreement.
You're not stupid. You trusted me. There's a difference.
I never trusted you.
You did, just like I trust you to come with me now and give me the courtesy of letting me explain myself.
The courtesy? Where was your courtesy when you hid who you truly are? I moved closer, rage replacing my fear from the past few hours. Where was your courtesy when Stewie dropped my Sapphire Star necklace at the charity gala and told me he'd kept it for you to reduce your robbery sentence? My voice rose. Where was your courtesy when you hurt me in that alley? David stiffened, his weapon coming back out as my voice throbbed with unresolved hatred and pain. Penn didn't move. His hand stayed up, waiting for me to accept him. His eyes remained unreadable, but his lips softened as he murmured,
My courtesy is now. I came for you, Elle. I didn't save you from Greg so I could leave and never see you again. I came for you so you could give me a second chance.
I huffed. I've already given you a second chance. You blew it.
Third chance, then.
Shaking my head, I wrapped arms around myself, suddenly cold in the ridiculous negligee. I'm done with lies.
Good. So am I.
Penn stepped closer.
I promise you on that alley 3 years ago that I won't touch you, I won't hurt you, and I'll drive you home the moment we've talked.
So you admit you were there, on the 19th of June? David glanced at us, watching our conversation with steely concentration. Penn nodded.
I admit it, just like I want to admit all of it, if you agree to come with me.
Answers were so close. I was desperate for them, hungrier for closure and truth than I'd ever been. It didn't matter he was just as handsome as when he'd taken my virginity. It didn't matter he was just as silver-tongued as when he coerced me into saying yes to his seduction. All that mattered was ending this, finishing the clues and closing the story on this so-called romance. David stepped closer, already knowing my decision before I did, and ready to change my mind.
You can talk at a later date. Let me drive.
I held up my hand, never looking away from Penn. All right. I'll go with you, Mr. Everett, if that is even your real name. I stormed toward him, not caring he was dressed in blood and gore and so many unspeakable things from his past. A large bruise marked his cheek, his nose slightly swollen, his lip cut on the bottom. Despite all that, he was just as pretty as that night in the club when I'd said yes. But the minute you've told me, I never want to see you again. His jaw clenched.
Understood.
He moved toward the door.
Let's go. The sooner I tell you, the better.
I cringed at the bitter nastiness in his voice. I couldn't help the sting. He wanted to put this behind us, too. Whatever physical connection we shared wasn't enough to climb over the chasm of misdirection between us. Good truth or bad. Penn and I were over before we even began.
Chapter 14. Penn. An hour into the drive, and we hadn't said a word. I had so many of the bastards to say, yet not a single sentence formed in my head. L didn't help matters. David had given her his blazer to sling over the gold thing she wore, and she sat with her arms and legs crossed, glaring at the road, the trees, the passing cars, anything but me. Stopping for gas didn't make it any better. While I pumped fuel into the hungry vehicle, she climbed out and entered the service station, not caring what she wore, making me fall even more with the aloof beauty she wielded. Once I finished filling the Merce, I found her slipping into a pair of pink Diamante flip-flops and braiding her tangled hair with a rubber band. She stood in perfection, surrounded by chip packets, cold drinks, and smutty magazines. Such a mundane store in a mundane world, but Elle fucking took my breath away. She stood so strong, even after what that cunt had done to her. She still moved with authority, even though I'd done my best to strip her of it. She was older, wiser, and more supreme than she'd been that night in the alley, but just as intoxicating. I should probably buy some shoes, too, but all I could think about was her. Unable to tear my eyes off her, I walked into a display holding promotional chocolate bars, dislodging a sign and splattering it to the floor. Her head jerked up, her lips pulling into half a smile as I spun around and marched to the counter to pay for the gas. Shit. The attendant swiped my card just as her electrical presence appeared by my side. My skin instantly rippled with chemistry, need, and heavy frustration that I'd been with this woman. That she'd let me into her body and started to open her heart. And now I had no claim on her. She wasn't mine, standing in the middle of the gas station in a nightgown and bodyguard's blazer. She was free to be looked at, flirted with, and seduced. I punched the credit card machine with fury.
Can you pay for these two? I don't have my purse with me.
She dropped the price tag of the flip-flops and a bottle of water onto the counter, giving me a pointed look.
I'll pay you back.
I knew she'd pay me back. She was generous that way. I don't want your money. Call it a gift. She shook her head.
No, it's fine.
How was she supposed to know buying her something, even something as simple as shoes and a drink, gave me more fucking pleasure than I'd had in years? I wouldn't let her take that pleasure away from me. I nodded, allowing her to think she'd won, not trusting my voice, not trusting my body when she was around. Every inch of me craved to grab her and just hold her. I didn't need to fuck her to feel close to her. I didn't need to kiss her to feel the supernova sensation I already drowned in. Smiling at the attendant, Elle took her bottle of water and padded out of the station in her new shoes. I watched her go, drinking in the sight of her toned legs and the way the blazer skimmed beneath her ass. The cashier cleared his throat.
You'll have to swipe your card again. I've put the new amount in.
It hurt to trade the vision of her with him, but I did and paid the $8 she'd cost me before pocketing the receipt and leaving the store. Elle had already climbed into the passenger seat, sipping on her water. The way her throat moved, the way her hair fell over her shoulder. God damn it, I needed to get myself under control so I could have a civilized conversation with this woman. Knowing that Greg had touched her, kissed her, caused a dominating urge to crawl through me. I had to replace the last man who'd had his hands on her with me. But what was the point? She's going to leave the moment she knows anyway.
Then there'd be other men, men much better than me in every way.
Hiding my sigh, I yanked open the Merce's door and slid behind the wheel. I needed to let her go once I found a pair of balls big enough to tell her who I was. But sitting with her in the small space, inhaling her smell, wishing I hadn't been such an asshole, it hurt. She wasn't wearing perfume, but her natural scent alone was enough to make me rock fucking hard and going out of my goddamn mind. Turning the key and throwing the Merce into gear, I revved the engine and rejoined traffic. Glancing at her, I said,
Are you going to be silent the rest of the drive, or are you going to talk?
She held up her hand, taking another sip of water before screwing the cap on.
Not a word, Pen. Not one word until you can give me your undivided concentration.
I can talk and drive at the same time.
But can you tell the truth and look me in the eye?
A droplet lingered on her lower lip, making me suffer with the desire to wrench her close and kiss her so fucking hard she only felt lust, not anger. But I kept my hands to myself, just like I promised, and fell silent. She wanted to wait? Fine, I would wait. The next few hours would give me time to formulate how best to tell her everything that had happened to me, everything I was, and everything I would never be. And I hoped to fucking God she didn't walk out the door the moment I'd finished and refused to see me again. The drive that had taken me all night and most of the day to find Elle only took a few hours in the opposite direction, mainly streamlined by knowing the address and direction and going a more direct route.
New York glittered on the horizon, welcoming me back with hardship, promise, destitution, and wealth. I had lived on two extremes, poor and rich, lost and found, safe and scared. Most of the time, my new world was 1,000 times better than my old one. But that was before L. Before I fucked up everything. Pulling into the parking space attached to my apartment block, I turned off the engine and gripped the steering wheel with all the frustration and regret I couldn't show. Emotions I couldn't let her see if I was going to be honest tonight. She had to think I had no shame. That I had accepted the consequences and wouldn't beg like a pussy for forgiveness. The sun had gone down. I couldn't remember the last time I'd slept, and I doubted Elle had managed any either. She'd been kidnapped and mentally tortured. If she wasn't so damn strong, I would have expected her to cry and nap the entire journey home. But she hadn't. She'd watched the view, but never relaxed. Not once. Then again, neither had I. Fuck, I really should have driven to her apartment and allowed her to take a shower, have some painkillers for her black eye, and rest before I dumped this shit on her. I wasn't any better than Greg was by holding her hostage at my place. However, Elle didn't seem to care. Climbing out, her pink flip-flops smacked the pavement in the direction of the front entrance. She hadn't waited for me to hold her door. She didn't need my help in any way. I followed, making sure to lock the Merce, glowering at the tire marks on the street from the night I'd peeled after her when that bastard jumped her. I knew his situation was a shitty one. I understood his pain, but that didn't give him the right to touch what was mine. I thought sleeping with her wouldn't change my steadfast plan to taste her and then move on. That was why I'd kicked her from my place, only moments after being inside her. I needed space to clear my head and school my stupid fucking heart. But that was before I found out she was a virgin. Before she trusted me enough to give me that first time. In an odd way, she'd waited for me. And fuck, that twisted me up inside. I hadn't deserved that gift. Not in the slightest. If she knew what I'd done, who I truly was, she wouldn't have let me anywhere near her, let alone inside her. You didn't give her a choice. You stalked her. You infiltrated her life. You befriended her father. You're the worst kind of bastard. I jogged, painfully, in front of her before she got to the front door. Inserting the key, I didn't make eye contact. Didn't reach out to touch her. I couldn't. My bones bellowed from Greg's henchmen beating me awake in the recent fight with Greg himself. I suspected a rib might be broken, and my nose had definitely earned a new bump. I was sick of the crusty blood on my knuckles and the throbbing in my joints. I wanted to rip off my dirty clothes and have a long hot shower, a triple shot of expensive vodka, then pass out cold in my bed. But I couldn't do that either, because Elle came first. Just like she always had and always fucking would. She didn't have a clue what she meant to me and how much I'd thought about her, cursed her, and bargained with my fate over her. For years I'd hated her. I'd planned ways to make her pay. But now that she'd been in my arms, now that I'd tasted her, listened to her, fucked her. That hate? Shit. That hate had turned into something so much worse. Elle didn't look over her shoulder as she entered the building. Her footsteps were weary as she placed one on the flight of stairs, preparing to haul herself to the 12th floor. Wait. I strode to the left where the foyer bent in a crescent, hiding two elevators that served the building. I'd had them repaired and ready to use. This way. She huffed but followed. The slap of her flip-flops sounded like an accusation. Pressing the button, an elevator opened, and I held the doors while she ducked under my arm and jumped in. She kept her gaze on the old-fashioned round buttons as I stood beside her and pressed my floor. The only floor renovated so far, and the one I would move out of once the building was ready for inhabitants. I'd rent each apartment and buy another for myself. The doors closed, and the clunking of mechanisms filled the space. Elle stiffened. The atmosphere around us thickened.
If there weren't so much unsaid shit between us, I'd shove her against the wall, haul up that ridiculous nightdress, and sink inside her. I'd force her to say hello to me, to see me, to truly listen. But I'd lost that right. I merely clenched my hands and counted the eternally long seconds in my head so I didn't terrify her by slapping the emergency stop and forcing her to listen to me with no way out, nowhere to run, and no way to ignore me. She shot out the second the elevator stopped and the door slid open with rusty groans. I followed, ducking around her to unlock the door. Stepping inside the Art Deco Delight, I had no sense of comfort or relief at being back. My blood decorated the floor from the nosebleed I had as I barreled from the bed with thugs chasing me. The interior design company, who'd modernized and styled the place, had bought the furniture, so there was nothing of me in the walls or appliances. Nothing of me in anything, because I'd been taught to be so transient in my world. To only covet that which I could carry. To only steal that which I could use. To only befriend those who wouldn't kill me. Three cardinal rules. Too bad I broke all three the night I met Elle 3 years ago. I'd coveted her when she wasn't mine to take. I'd stolen pieces I wanted because I had no choice. And I'd befriended her even when I should have kept my distance. Elle kicked off her flip-flops by the door and padded barefoot to the black couch on chrome legs that made it look as if it hovered in the living room. She sat demurely, her legs crossed, her eyes narrowed with focus. She didn't ask to use the bathroom or beg to rest before we began. She was all business.
We're here. We're alone. Speak.
Her chin came up, the loose braid she'd done in the gas station looped over her shoulder, begging me to fist it and drag her upright to kiss me, to take what I was desperate to take before she walked out the door and disappeared. Not replying, I headed into the kitchen, grabbed two glasses, and filled them with water. Popping a few Advil, two for her, two for me, I took my haul to where she sat and waited until she held out her hand for the drugs, then took the water. We sipped silently, swallowing the painkillers as I sank into the Chesterfield armchair at a right angle to where she sat on the couch. She reached forward to put her half-empty glass on the coffee table, watching me carefully. I didn't give up mine. I kept it as physical support, tracing the droplets on the sides, smearing it with grime from my hands. I needed something to hold, something to touch. I just wished it could be her.
Are you going to spit it out, Pen? Or do I need to leave?
I brought the glass to my lips, buying another few seconds as I swallowed a cold mouthful. She shifted impatiently, her thighs tight and fingers clutching the couch. Wiping my lips with the back of my hand, I said quietly, "Where do you want me to start?" She flinched as if I'd shouted. Her shoulders stayed around her ears as she snapped.
How about the beginning?
There are too many beginnings to know which one you mean. She rolled her eyes.
Stop with the riddles and spit it out.
I inhaled hard. You want to know about the alley? She nodded, her tone sarcastic.
Obviously, if that's where you want to start.
I risked looking at her, our eyes locked. Heat and fire and brimstone. Passion and lust and denial. So much denial. She looked at me as if I wasn't worthy of being close to her, even though I'd saved her life. Twice. I was there.
I know.
She crossed her arms.
What part did you play?
Part? I frowned.
Were you the one to rip my clothes, steal my necklace, or try and force me to give a blowjob?
I winced, gripping the glass too hard. Any harder, it would splinter. Placing it on the table, I wobbled in my haste to be free of it. Elle flinched, her nostrils flared, waiting for my damning response. Familiar anger toward her rose, anger I was more acquainted with than whatever I felt now. Shoving myself off the chair, I slammed to my knees in front of her. Grabbing her face, I held her firm as she shied backward, trying to get free. My fingers dug into her cheeks, holding her even as she latched her fingers around my wrists and scratched me hard.
Let me go.
I didn't answer.
I couldn't answer. My lips sought hers. I dragged her forward, our mouths connecting in a vicious kiss. She cried out as I held her close.
My tongue licked her seam, begging for entry, but not forcing, even though every cell in my body demanded to shove her back, climb on top, and show her in actions, not words, who I was.
It fucking hurt that she had to ask, that she looked at me and wasn't convinced, that she could think such awful things about me, that she couldn't see. Her tiny fist connected with my sternum. If I hadn't been punched there a few times already, it wouldn't have registered over the sex haze in my brain. But she prodded a deep bruise, stealing my air, making me pull back.
Stop touching me.
Her voice was a hiss, a threat, a plea. I didn't let her go, drinking in her rage, sinking into the vulnerability in her gaze. How can you ask that question? She coughed in surprise.
What question?
Who I am? She bared her teeth.
Because I don't know.
You do know. You've known all along.
Wrong. You've lied to me from day one.
I shook my head sadly. I never lied to you, Elle. Not once. She swatted away my hands, sucking in a breath.
You lied about everything.
Did I lie about how much I want you? Did I lie about how much I...
You're going to sit there and claim whatever it was between us was purely physical?
Is, not was. It's not past tense. I took her hand, my cock hardening against the intoxicating buzz between us.
Answer the question, Pen.
She tried to untangle her fingers from mine. I didn't let her. I wanted to nod with conviction. To say the connection linking and pinging and zapping like nuclear energy was nothing more than shallow lust. But we both knew emotions had crept their sneaky asses into our lives long before we'd acknowledged it. They'd been there since that very first night. They'd been there every day for 3 goddamn years. I'd hunted her down, invaded her life, and befriended her father because of emotion. To deny that would be the worst kind of lie, because it would mean I'd have to lie to myself. I won't say that, because it's not true.
Oh.
She rolled her eyes.
You're finally going with truth?
I scowled. I promised, didn't I? She laughed hard and brittle.
Sorry if I don't believe you. That I don't believe you're going to answer me honestly for the first time.
You dare lecture me on honesty?
You dare deny you've been anything but a liar?
Elle, I snarled. Don't start an argument you can't win. You want the truth. I'm giving you the truth. You've known the fucking truth all along. She stood up, knocking me sideways. My arm flew out, smashing her glass of water off the coffee table. Liquid spilled in a waterfall onto the brown and turquoise retro rug, but I didn't care. She charged for the door. Launching upright, I chased after her. My body hurt. My head pounded, but I caught her arm, spinning her to face me. Stop.
Let me go.
She kicked my knees, anger painting red spots on her cheeks.
I don't want to be here.
Yes, you do. You have to listen.
I don't have to do anything.
Her chest puffed as she inhaled hard.
Let me go, Pen, or whoever you are.
Her face turned nasty.
Or should I say Geo or Sean?
The world froze. She remembered? Christ, 3 years and she remembered. Her father had said she was intelligent, and I'd seen firsthand how capable and strong she was. But to remember? Fuck. My heart raced. My name is Pen.
But what was it 3 years ago?
Passion raged through me. I wanted nothing more than to hurt her the way she'd hurt me. To force her to be honest, the way she was asking me to be. Couldn't she see she stabbed me with a blade each time she believed I wasn't who I said? It's always been Pen. Does that answer your question? See me. See who I am. It would be so easy to come out and tell her, to wrap my lips around the words and reveal my secret. But just as I hated her 3 years ago, I hated her now for doubting. If what had happened that night was real, she shouldn't have to ask. She should know, just like I knew.
She should hurt as much as I did. I'll show her. The ridiculous idea popped into my head. Wrapping my fingers around her throat, I marched her backward toward the kitchen wall. She stumbled, her hand coming up to fight against my hold.
Let me go.
I didn't stop, not when she tripped and I had to pluck her feet from the floor and hoist her into my arms, not when she kicked my shins as I crashed her against the wall, and not when I grabbed her chin, held her firm, and kissed her like she ought to have been fucking kissed for the past 3 years. She was a virgin. She'd waited. I like to think she'd waited for me, that her body had always been mine just like her heart. But I was in the habit of lying to others, not to myself, so I wouldn't believe such fantasy. Her tongue tangled with mine, her breath feeding my lungs as I devoured her. Her sharp moan made me pull back. Panting hard, I murmured, "I was there. I'll tell you even though you already know. I'm..." A fist hammered on my door.
"Lise, open up."
Elle froze in my arms, my muscles atrophied in horror. Shit, shit, shit. I thought I'd have more time. I thought I'd tell her, explain why I'd acted the way I had, and then either win the lottery by having her forgive me or drive her home so I knew she was safe. It's too soon. I haven't finished. I knew they'd come for me. It was a risk I'd been willing to take, a chance I had to take to save her. But not so soon. Not before I could fix what I'd ruined. Elle, I'm... Her eyes flared wide as the pounding came again.
Ben Everett, open this door immediately.
Fuck. I raked a hand through my hair, stepping away from Elle, seeing all my dreams and wishes evaporate into dust. Elle slipped back onto her toes, smashing a hand over her mouth.
Oh my God.
I didn't know if her sudden profanity was at our interruption or my roundabout confession. Her face shot white, her eyes searching for something real, something she could latch onto and find.
"We know you're in there. Open up."
The police barked, destroying everything, just like they destroyed the first night we met. Just like they destroyed my entire fucking life before I ever found Elle in that alley. My gaze danced around my apartment, looking for something, anything that I could use against what was about to happen. But I was at a loss. All because I'd let the violence in my blood carry me away. My shoulders sank with depression. There was no getting around this. Unfortunately, this time, I deserved what would happen. Larry is going to be so pissed. Swallowing hard, I glanced one last time at Elle and stalked to the front door. I opened it just as an officer raised his hand to thump again. "It's open. Calm the fuck down." One moment, I was a free man standing in my own apartment, trying to repair the damage with a girl I would never admit to caring for. The next, I was a prisoner held between two officers, brute force yanking my arms back, even when I offered no retaliation.
"Ben Everett, you're under arrest."
I laughed. It was the only fucking thing I could do. That night, that field, that kiss. Elle lost her shock, dashing forward and hanging on the arm of the officer who snapped the metal restraints over my wrists.
"Wait, you can't do this."
A female rookie with a fresh uniform, polished buttons, and never been used weapon stepped forward and pulled her back.
"Ma'am, don't touch the arresting officer."
Elle whirled on her.
"Don't touch him. Well, tell him not to touch him."
She pointed at me, her hand shaking.
"We're not done. I need to talk to him."
"He's done."
The officer who caught me grinned with smugness, his ginger hair prickled like a hedgehog with his buzz cut.
"Guess you're going home, huh?"
I glowered. Elle shook her head.
"What's that supposed to mean?"
The officer replied.
"It means I've followed his record, and it was only a matter of time until he slipped again. They always do."
He chuckled, motioning to the rookie to grab an elbow and march me toward the door. I went with them. I offered no resistance. Things would only get worse if I did.
"Wait! You can't do this! Release him!"
Elle stayed by my side, fighting all over again for me. Does she remember that night?
Did she remember the way she begged for my freedom in the park? The way she'd run as hard as she could and offered herself as a sacrifice when she couldn't run anymore? The way she'd kissed me breathless and frantic in the bushes while I waited for the police to take me because I didn't want her to hurt or fear anymore? I'd fallen for her for that. I'd fallen so fucking hard in only a heartbeat. She'd been the only good thing in my world, the only light after so much darkness. How could I control my free fall when she treated me with such kindness? When she kissed me, when she'd trusted me, when she'd given me half the chocolate bar I'd stolen from the convenience store only an hour before meeting her? Christ, I'd fallen so damn hard. I hadn't recovered from the bruises, even years later. It was only till after I was freed from prison did my infatuation with the princess I'd met that night turn to malice. Such simple adoration twisted the more I learned about her, the more I researched and grasped at the fragments of information widely available online and in newspapers. She was rich. She was powerful. She could have helped free me, but she hadn't. She'd left me to rot. She'd lied to me that night about feeling something. Because if she'd felt half of what I had, she wouldn't have left me behind bars without doing everything in her goddamn power to find me. But I'd grown up since then, since Larry found me and did what I'd hoped she would. I finally had someone on my side, and it wasn't her. I wasn't proud, but I'd let the snowballing hate smash through whatever ground I'd stood on. I'd fallen harder for her, but the wrong way this time. I'd allowed my stupid sleuthing to tarnish the only good thing in my world and turn it into the chalice of everything I despised. I'd never felt like that before. Never been so livid against injustice and frustration and anger. I'd known weakness and helplessness. I'd known destitution and abandonment. I'd known terror and shame and respect and confusion and every fucking emotion on the roulette called life. But I'd never known love until her. And I'd never known hate until her. Never laid awake at night with my guts churning and heart burning and a paralysis that kept me stuck forever thinking about her. Her out there, free. Her out there, rich. Her out there, while I was inside trapped and crippled by a system that had failed me in every fucking way since I'd been born. I had nothing to say as the officers led me from the apartment I'd paid for in cash. Cash I'd earned the right way. Not the wrong way, and crammed me into the hallway. Elle chased us, her face alive, her eyes disbelieving that once again the law would tear us apart. She didn't even know. She didn't trust. Even now, she believed I was Gio or Sean. How fucking could she? How could she kiss me and not trust in that? How could she think I was a rapist when I had so much I wanted to fucking say to her, but never would? You hurt me, Elle, more than anyone. In a strange way, I was glad I wouldn't be allowed to see her again. It made this so much easier. I wouldn't have to deal with the betrayal or spill everything I'd done to make amends. I wouldn't have to admit I was wrong, that she was rich and powerful and above most rules, but she hadn't forgotten me. I knew better now. She would have come for me if only I'd told her my goddamn name that night instead of keeping it secret. Terrified she'd be embarrassed by me. That she'd go from thinking I was a down-on-his-luck passerby and know the truth. The truth that my bed consisted of cardboard and donated blankets. That my meals consisted of charity and theft. It was my fault. And hers. We'd fucked up together. All this time, I thought I would be begging for her forgiveness, that she would walk out of my life once she knew I'd lied to her, and I admitted just how much my hate navigated my actions. But in reality, I would leave her, and the justice system would banish her from my world.
Stop!
Elle stood to her full height in her ridiculous gold negligee, wrapping herself in authority not many excel at and few are born with.
Let him go. I won't ask again.
Miss Charleston?
David, her driver, bodyguard, and fucking nuisance, climbed the stairs with his arms loose by his sides. He seemed to have a knack for turning up at the wrong time. Did he not trust me with his employer? That made two of them. His languid steps didn't fool me. He was packing and just itching to draw. He'd wanted this ever since he recognized me, the night I picked Elle up at the Blue Rabbit and took her back to my place to fuck her the first time. He'd glared into my eyes, and in that glimpse, we'd both relived that night in Central Park. The night when he'd come to claim sweet 19-year-old Elle and left me on my own. I'd expected him to say something, to say more than, "He looks familiar." But he hadn't. He'd zipped his lips and let Elle decide who to believe I was. I had to give him credit for that, at least.
"David, tell them to let him go."
Elle whirled toward him, looking to him to fix this. He might have stopped Elle from being arrested 3 years ago, but he hadn't done it for me then, and he wouldn't do it for me now. His jaw tightened, his dark skin hiding stress and anger better than Elle's pale complexion as he moved to her side. He didn't touch her. Professional until the end.
"Greg woke up and pressed charges. Mr. Everett hurt him. He'll have to suffer the consequences."
Elle growled.
"Greg kidnapped me. He was seconds away from raping me. Penn stopped him."
The officer with red hair mumbled.
"Greg will be taken in for questioning, too, once he's been cleared at the hospital."
"Hospital?"
Elle threw her hands up.
"Are you kidding me? He'll have a few bruises. He's overacting the entire thing."
The officer shook his head.
"Reports of a bruised larynx and broken ribs have been confirmed by the doctors. It's a serious matter, Miss Charleston, and both parties will be dealt with."
At least I'd hurt him. He deserved to be in pain. The rookie sidled up to Elle. My hackles rose as she said,
"When you've returned home and, recuperated..."
She looked at the state of Elle's undress.
"You're required to come to the station to submit your statement about how Greg Hobson took you, what his intentions were in the cabin, and any outstanding issues we need to be aware of."
Elle spasmed with anger.
"I can tell you all that right now, in exchange for letting Mr. Everett go."
I chuckled. "Come on, Elle. You know from experience they won't do that. Just leave me like you did the first time." Her hands wedged in her stomach as if I'd physically hit her.
"Do you think I'm that heartless?"
She moved closer, dragging my gaze to her perfect body and just how fucking much I suffered when it came to her. Love her, hate her, adore her, abhor her. I could never win. Because I wasn't telling the truth. The truth was I'd never felt like this for anyone, ever. I'm in love with you, you chocolate-kissing, nighttime-stealing, gorgeous girl. And I'm pissed as hell about it. My shoulders straightened. I would never tell her because she hadn't earned my truth. The only person who had was Larry. Fuck, Larry. I had to talk to him the moment I was allowed a phone call. The ginger officer guided me toward the stairs. "Time to go."
"Penn, please."
Elle wrung her hands.
"I believe you. Don't punish me for fearing the worst."
Was it wrong of me to want her to hurt just a little? To make her feel how awful it was not to have someone trust you? Tears brimmed in her blue eyes, begging me to relieve that hurt. I cursed her, but I couldn't let her suffer. Tugging against the cop's pressure, I said, "Go into the kitchen. Above the fridge is a safe deposit box. Combination is 0619. 19th of June." Elle half gasped, half sobbed. Before she could say anything, I added, "Inside you'll find things that will answer some of your questions, but you'll also find my emergency details. Call Larry Barnes."
"All right, enough chit-chat."
The officer pushed me. My feet descended the stairs. "Tell him I need his services again. Tell him I know I fucked up, but he better come." Elle nodded, her hands grasping the banister as she stayed on my floor, and I slowly headed below.
"Can you say it out loud? Admit what happened between us that night. Please. I need to hear that, Penn."
Even now, she still had a splinter of doubt puncturing her trust. Fuck, that hurts. I smiled harshly. The fact that you have to ask is all the answer I'll give you. I glanced down, judging how many steps to go, how many steps before I was trapped behind barbed wire and bars again. Tears welled in her gaze.
So you are nameless.
I shrugged. I've never been called nameless, but if you're asking who I am, how can I tell you? How can I make you see what you don't want to see?
But I do want to see. I've been dying to see for 3 years. I've been trying to find you, Pen.
Stop, Elle. I didn't want to hear her declarations of hardship, of the occasional half-hearted search while she lived in her crystal tower and I rotted in a cell. We reached the landing, ready to turn and vanish from Elle's line of sight. I gave her all I could. I finally admitted my truth. I can't tell you who I am because I never told you my name. I could give you any name, and you would never know it was real because you never knew me. The officers prodded me again. Get going. I ignored them. All you need to know is how I made you feel. What did you feel?